song says, "My anchor holds in spite of the storm. I have journeyed through the long, dark night, out on the open sea, my faith alone. Sight unknown, and yet his eyes were watching me. My anchor holds, though the ship is battered. My anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I've fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. My anchor holds in spite of the storm." My whole point this morning is this. Every single person in this room either has or is or will be going through storms in your life. And there are no exceptions. All of us. With the emphasis on this one thing, going through the storms. If we have an anchor and it holds, we'll make it through the storm and reach the other side. But boy, if we don't have an anchor, we'll end up shipwrecked. The New Testament talks a lot about perseverance and talks about endurance, and for a very good reason. Because Scripture says that we're all going to face trials, tribulations, infirmities, reproaches, distresses, needs, and perils. The storms will come. And that's why our anchor must be on the solid rock of Jesus Christ. And I thought to myself, well, what's my anchor? Well, for me, I'm going to say my anchor is the Bible. The more I read and study the Bible, the stronger my anchor gets. For 16 years, I owned a camp on Lake Champlain. It was tough, but somebody had to have one. I had a camp on Lake Champlain, and I quickly learned the importance of having the right anchor and a very strong rope to hold that. Who holds my anchor? His name is Jesus. Angie. Can I have picture one, please? Hold on. I was told she's working on it. That's not it. There it is. Now, I don't know if you can read that, but it says, "My anchor holds in spite of the storm." That's the painting on the back of the motorcycle that I currently have. And if you don't remember anything else today, remember that picture in your mind. Your anchor holds in spite of the storm. That's Jesus' hand hanging on that anchor, holding it in place. I've often said a picture's worth a thousand words, so I'm using pictures so I won't have to talk so much this morning. Perhaps you're wondering why I have that painting on a motorcycle. Well, I'll get to that a little later on this morning. But today I want to show you two different storms that brought Marley and I through safely. And they had happy endings. We still face other storms in our lives that are ongoing and very heartbreaking and with no end in sight. But we keep on keeping on, casting our cares upon Jesus, because Jesus cares for us. And our anchor holds in spite of the storms. As I pondered all this when I was writing this, God brought to my mind the storms that he had brought Marlene and I through over the years. And you know, I was humbled at how long that list is of the storms that we've been through. God brought us through every one of them. Now, things aren't always what they seem to be. For example, those of you that have been to our house and those of you that came to the church picnic last summer, what did you see? You saw a large, beautiful new house and all new furniture and appliances in it. Perhaps you might have thought, wow, the Allens must be really blessed. Well, as a matter of fact, we are blessed. But for those that you haven't seen it, next picture, Angie, please. Here's a picture of our new house with no mortgage. Now, that section left of that door is an addition. And that's what I call the main house, that's three-bedroom ranch. Now, if I get back to where I'm going. But here's what this house used to look like. Could I see the next picture, please? That's the front of our house that we had. Oh, yeah. Things aren't always what they seem. We got this new house the hard way. A way I will never wish upon anyone. On a cold winter's day in February of 2015, in a matter of minutes, our world turned upside down and we found ourselves totally homeless. Next picture, please. That's what our house looked like in 2015 on a cold winter's day. And you can go to the next picture, too. When you walk in our front door of our new house, you see Marlene's piano. That's the old house. When you walk in the door, that's what a fire can do. I think there's one more picture, too. Just to get an idea of what it's like, your home of 30, 40 years, gone in an instant, and you're homeless. There's one thing that came to me that night. It was freezing cold. I was only poorly dressed when I ran out of the house. But I never gave it a thought. It just came out of my mouth. Satan, you're not going to win this battle. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Another verse, the Ray Bolt song. I had visions. I had dreams. I've even held them in my hand. But I never knew they'd slip right through like they were only grains of sand. The anchor holds, though the ship is battered. The anchor holds, though the sails are torn. I've fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas. And my anchor holds in spite of the storm. And thankfully, I praise God, we had good insurance that paid for everything. Amen. I hear people complaining about insurance companies. We had Vermont Mutual Insurance, and they covered everything. And one of the Psalms, I don't know, Nancy, have I got Psalms 27:13 written down? Yes, I have. Oops, I don't want that yet. It's 27 Psalms chapter 27 verse 13. I'm reading it from the New King James Version. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That verse there, I haven't memorized it, but I read it a lot because it's so true. Now, a little more information. The main ranch house was totally destroyed, as I showed you at the beginning. It's completely torn down. However, attached to the house was an addition that was damaged. Remember I said there was an addition on there? That was damaged by smoke only, not by any fire nor any water. But because of the smoke damage, we did have to gut it and salvage the roof and the walls, the outside. And that created an opportunity because Marlene and I talked for years of taking that addition and making it into a one-bedroom apartment either for her mother or my mother. Turns out neither one of them needed it. Now my son Moses needs it. He lives there. So with the fire and the insurance company paid, well, we gutted that, and that's a beautiful, brand-new one-bedroom apartment for my son Moses to live in. Here is where you get to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. My study was in that addition. It contained bookcases that were made by my dad, and they were stuffed full of Christian books and Bibles. And in the file cabinets contained 40 years of my teachings and sermons and study notes, and my computers were in there. And they all survived. A company called ServPro down in come up with a bunch of ladies, and they spent hours with special cloth and material in it, taking every single book out of that bookcase and wiping the smoke smell off of them. But that, and also, the other thing that was in my study, by coincidence, no, it wasn't coincidence. All our family photo albums and my computers were in that study, and they survived too. My God is more than capable of watching out.
Yes, he is.
Now, the second storm that I want to talk about, I say we, Marlene, but I would probably say the second storm was more me than her. Could I have a picture of one of those paintings? I think it's number 8. Not that one. Yeah. See that painting right there? The current motorcycle that I have right now back home that I ride has that. That's the lid on the side. You got one on each side down here. He's not here. He's risen. Can I see the next picture, please? That's on the other side of the bike that I'm currently riding. Come under me. Now, what's the big deal about those two paintings? There's something really a big deal about them. Where am I? Next picture, please. That picture right there. Those two lids were on that bike, not the bike I'm riding today. That thing slid down over that bank on the left side, slid on the right side, damaged everything on both sides of that bike. But those two lids never got a scratch. The three secular men that I were riding with that day, for the next few years when we were going different places and we'd gather in the motels in the evening talk, they kept bringing it up. I didn't. Hey, Don Allen, nobody walks away in an accident like that. And those lids, they didn't even get a scratch. And I jokingly told him, I says, well, Jesus didn't want his nose dragged in the dust. But as for me, when I parted ways with that bike, I landed on my face. And then I tumbled over and over until my body came into rest against that bike. Everything, I was conscious, but everything went blank because the dirt just packed right in. And I'd ride sometimes, it was a cold day, and I had the face shield up, even though I had a face, full face helmet. And just before the accident, I closed it to warm up my nose, and boy, am I glad I did. And the other thing these secular people would talk about for years later at the gatherings about this is nobody. I walked away with only a sore shoulder and a bruise on my left thigh, even though my thigh was covered with thick padding, so I must have hit something pretty solid. But here's where I want to turn this thing into correlation. In the 6th chapter of Ephesians, it talks about putting on the whole armor of God. Well, in the motorcycle world, we have a secular thing called all the gear, all the time. And that phrase could and should apply to Ephesians 6 also. Wear all of the armor all the time. There are two reasons I walked away unhurt from that accident. The first one is because Jesus was with me, or else he had his angels riding with me. And the second one was because I was wearing all the gear all the time. I had on a full face helmet with a face shield closed, thank God, because it landed on my face, as I mentioned. I was also wearing gloves, boots. I was wearing a Kevlar jacket with plenty of padding. I was wearing Kevlar pants with lots of padding. And in the spirit realm, that same principle applies. If we're wearing the full armor of God when the storms come into our lives, we'll have a much better chance of surviving. Another verse from Ray Bolts. I think there's another picture after this one. Yeah, that one there. That's just another picture showing you. That was a very, very steep bank, about 15 feet high. Even in the other picture you can see. I don't ever want to take a ride like that again, thank you very much. Somebody asked me once, well, how did you leave the... I don't know. One minute I was riding a motorcycle, and then the next minute I was rolling on the ground.
I think it's amazing that the motorcycle didn't land on top
of it. That's true, too. In my mind, I'm a visual person. I'm thinking I left the road at 55 miles an hour in that bank. I can almost see it, the bank, and the motorcycle just dropped out from under me. But that's just me and my vision. Anyways, oh yeah, did I read this? Ray. Go to the next picture. I forgot what the next one was. There, that's my helmet. Now, you can't see it. You can see where I scraped my head up there, but that shield right there was totally blocked, so I was black covered. I landed in. So you can see the value of wearing a helmet. In correlation, maybe you can see the value of wearing a helmet of salvation. Just trying to make it make sense. I've been young, but I'm older now, and there has been beauty that these eyes have seen. But it was in the night to the storms of my life. Oh, that's where God proved his love to me. The anchor holds, oh, the ship is battered. The anchor holds, oh, the sails are torn. I have fallen on my knees as I face the raging seas because my anchor holds in spite of the storm. But now for the rest of the story. The story gets interesting. Now I'm going to say this, and I know everybody's got their own little theology and doctrines, and I know, but I'm just telling you the way I see it. God may have allowed these storms, but God did not send these storms, and Satan did not cause them either. The house fire was caused by a chimney fire because I failed to clean the chimney. Simple as that. The bike crash, on the other hand, was because I, who was a certified motorcycle safety instructor, paid by the state of Vermont to teach motorcycle safety and how to ride a motorcycle, I failed to follow some of my own instructions. I got callous. I've been riding long and hard for 4 days. I let myself get very tired, and I let myself get extremely dehydrated, and you're not supposed to be on a motorcycle when you're doing that. And because of that, it caused me to lose focus for 2 seconds. And over the bank I went at 55 miles an hour. Just because I didn't practice what I preached. That's another correlation, I guess, in the spiritual realm is we need to walk the talk and practice what we preach. But that works, too, in the secular world, if you don't. Well, the bike was total. I started praying, and I asked God to help me find another bike. I want another bike the same year, the same make, the same model, the same color. And God answered my prayer. That's the bike I have now. But here's where it gets interesting. The bike that I totaled had 87,000 miles on it. The bike that God led me to only had 28,000 miles. So it's much newer. Same bike, same year, model, everything. But it had less mileage. It had more extras on it. And amazingly, the asking price was identical to what the insurance company gave me for my totaled bike. Getting good, and it gets better. Nobody can tell this story but me, and I'm not lying. That in itself was a blessing, but God added another blessing. I offered the salesman person $2,000 less than the asking price for that bike. I'm just avoiding telling you the whole price, but just picture this. I'll give you $2,000 less than what you're asking for the bike. And you know the routine. He says, well, let me talk to the boss and I'll call you back. He calls me back. And this is what I hear on the phone. We will sell that to you for $2,000 less than what you have just offered us for that bike. Did you catch that? I told him I'd give him cash for $2,000 less than he was asking. He comes back on and says, no, knock off another $2,000. How often does that happen? My God, it's awesome. That just often reminds me of Isaiah 55:8. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, says the Lord. I like the Lord's ways way better than mine. Now, I've just showed you two different storms that God brought us through safely and had happy endings. But we still face other storms, Marlene and I, that are ongoing. And they're very heartbreaking, with no end in sight. Yet we just keep on keeping on, casting our cares on Jesus, because Jesus cares for us. The storms that we're still in, with no end in sight, involve our children and grandchildren. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because it's too painful to really talk about. But God is faithful.
Yes, He is.
We all want to live painless lives, free from storms, with clear sailing all the time. Well, most of us do. Maybe one of you or two are an exception. I always want a painless life and free of storms. How's that? But that's not reality. We don't get a free pass as followers of Jesus Christ. Jesus told us in John 16:33, I think you get that one if you can find it. And John told us in 16:33, the opposite is true. In this world you will have tribulations. Sometimes it can feel like our situations are out of control, but we can take a solace in knowing that God sees and understands our struggles. John 16:3, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulations. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world.
Glory.
And right on the heels of that is Romans 8:28. Most of you might know it, but I think she's got it. I know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We may be going through something that is incredibly difficult and painful. However, we can find peace, knowing that, as improbable as it may feel in this chaos and grief of the moment, God has a plan for each and every one of us. We may not get to see the answer this side of heaven, or we may not get to see the answer as quickly as we like, but the answers will come and God will bring us through, because God is with us in every situation. God's not abandoning us to the midst of our darkest hour. God is walking alongside of us and comforts us in our suffering. And God promises glorious existence in heaven waits on the other side of all our painful realities of this world. That's a promise. I've got four scriptures I'd share with you. The first one is Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord, He is the one who goes before me. He will be with me. He will not leave me nor forsake me. I will not fear nor be dismayed. Like I said, that's probably King James. I'm just reading it in the New King James. Next one is Psalms 23, verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And the next one is Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you in my righteous right hand. And the last one is Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Have you ever thought what motivated Jesus to willingly go to the cross? I've thought about that. I got the answer. Jesus looked beyond the cross. Jesus looked beyond the cross to the glorious existence that awaited him in heaven. That's the key for us here on earth. We need to look beyond the cross, but we also need to look beyond our storms. Look beyond the cross, look beyond our storms to the glorious existence that awaits for us in heaven. Our anchor holds in spite of the storm. Now, I don't know how many of you know Corrie Ten Boom, but for those of you who don't, she's the one that survived through the gulags of the World War II, and then God raised her up for a few years in her senior years. Corrie Ten Boom said this, and I thought she had it right. In order to realize the worth of the anchor, we need to feel the stress of the storm. Interesting thought. In order to realize the worth of the anchor, we need to feel the stress of the storm. I say that's true because my anchor holds in spite of the storm. The Bible is my anchor, and Jesus Christ holds my anchor, as the picture right there shows. I've been tested and proven many times to hold me steadfast when the storms of life are raging, and I'm a witness. God can be trusted. And in wrapping this up, I got one word of caution I'd like to share. In the flesh, we always want to compare ourselves to others or compare our storms with others. We must never let ourselves get caught in that trap. Do not compare your storm with somebody else's storm. A storm is a storm, whether you're in a boat on a lake or whether you're in a tent on the beach. A storm is a storm. Should you find yourself thinking your storm is far worse than someone else's, this might help put things in perspective for you. It does for me. It's very simple. If you're comparing storms, I cried because I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. I think that simple line really sums it up. And speaking of feet, it's time to get on our feet and have a huggy break.